possible vaccine for cancer, weather advice for NASA, maybe even new fuel discoveries that make gasoline obsolete. All of this and more is happening every day here at one of the nation's top research universities, and you get to hear about it first, right here on Classic City Science.
The average American comes in contact with thousands of chemicals every year, and the EPA is charged with testing compounds to determine their potential risk, but it takes too long. UGA researchers are trying to speed up the process. To talk to me about that today, we have Dr. Steve Stice, Georgia Research Eminent Scholar and Professor of Animal and Dairy Science in the University of Georgia College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, April.
So I see that the list has nearly 80,000 household and industrial compounds that have to be tested every year.
There are a lot of compounds that we come in contact with every day, every hour of our life, that we really don't know the effects that they have on the people that are exposed to them. Particularly of interest and of concern is the unborn.
So how can we test whether or not a chemical is going to be dangerous to an unborn baby?
So what we have are stem cells, and everybody starts out as a stem cell. So we're able to take stem cells, turn them into neurons. And so if we're interested in, say, autism, which is generally associated with neural development of the unborn and early born children, you can start to expose those neurons in a dish to these compounds and understand what they might do to neurons. So we know that autism is associated with changes in the structure of a neuron. So how many branches a neuron has and the number of projections that come off of a neuron. So if we can look at a compound in a dish on neurons and see, well, are they changing the structure of those neurons? We most likely have a compound that may have a detrimental effect on early development of the nervous system in children.
But, I mean, it wouldn't happen all at once, right? It could be exposure over a period of time. So do they test for that as well?
Oh, that's a very good point. And something that we call windows of susceptibility. So a very early neuron versus an older neuron will react differently to a compound and a toxin. So it is very important to look at those very early windows of susceptibility as well as the late ones as well.
And how many of these chemicals that are tested actually make it onto market where they could potentially be in my air or in the area around me?
A lot of chemicals out there aren't tested because there aren't really good ways of testing to see if they're a detriment to neural development. And the methods that are used today take too long, as you said. They can take a year and a half of testing for just one compound and over $1 million per compound. So it's just not feasible to test all of these chemicals. So what we think we can do is actually prioritize which chemicals need further analysis by testing this in a very rapid assay within a petri dish in our labs, and then go on to additional testing with other cell types and therefore really get a better understanding of the adverse effects of these compounds.
And we're not just talking about household chemicals. We're talking about chemicals for a broad application.
You're absolutely right, April. There's a big concern of a number of classes of chemicals. In particular, pesticides are at the top of the list, as well as fire retardants, heavy metals, things like lead and mercury. We know that they have detrimental effects, but we don't really know the mechanisms in which they affect these neurons. And so if we understand the mechanisms, we can start to then predict other chemicals of similar structure and class as to how they're going to work and have an effect on the developing brain. So we're also very interested in what we call computational modeling. So can we model understanding, taking from what we understand about the effects of a compound or a chemical, and then start to predict what similar compounds will do to the developing brain. And so we're moving away again from more animal studies and studies in a dish to being able to do that all with computational computers to compute the effects of a compound.
And obviously with the end goal of any chemicals that actually make it onto the market would be not a risk.
Correct. So if we know the structure and we know similar compounds with similar structures might have an effect on a particular pathway, we could alert the public to the potential detrimental effects of those. And by and large, a lot of compounds are safe. And it's very important to know which ones are safe and which chemicals may cause detrimental harm.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, April, for having me.
Today, we've been talking to Dr. Steve Stice, a Georgia Research Alliance eminent scholar and professor in the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. For WUGA, I'm April Sorrow.